What up, my people? This is another good episode of the Dr. Bracer Show. I am your boy Tony coming to you on a good old Wednesday morning. It's a Wednesday morning. I'm just going to give y'all some good old content to listen to talk about, and maybe leave a little discussion at the end of the day about what we got going on in the world. We're going to dive into some sports, some entertainment, and a little bit of news. But before I get to that, you know, you can find this show on most of your podcast readers, so you can share that with the people that you hold true, that listen to podcasts and get down and listen to the people talk about the thrills of the day. It's Dr. Braces. The website is drbraces.com. You can leave feedback at Dr. Braces. I'm on all social media networks, Dr. Braces. That's DrBraceive. That's it. Just in case you're a first time listener. Now, it's a nice, the fall is coming in, y'all. I'm looking at my yard right now. I'm in the backyard. My grass is still a little high, so I need to get that one last cut before it's over with. Front yard the same way. You know, give it a little trim. Give it the pristine look for the fall and the winter to come. Hopefully, I get rid of some of these goddamn weeds, man. I got some weeds that are motherfucking higher than my knees, man. You motherfuckers start high back here. God damn, this shit's crazy. But this show, like I said, it's just me just going on and on. I have my crew. If y'all want to catch us, you know, you can find us on social media. You got MJ. He's at Marcus J, MarQusJ. And you got Cam. You can find him on social media under the Brothers Oscuro. There's Brothers _ Oscuro on most platforms as well. That's the crew. And then anybody else that comes through, you know, our affiliates, you know, fuck with them too. So, you know, just some random thoughts I had going on this week. Bruh, if I had that damn Bruce Banner gene, I think I'd be wrecking shop, man. More times than not. Like, I hold back a lot of shit that just pisses me off on most days. Mainly because some people just, can get under your skin. But I've been doing a good job of keeping it cool these last few days. Your boy got that nice little bump in his pay coming up. So that's going to be making me feel a little good, making my pockets feel a little fatter. The boy is getting ready to matriculate through his high school thing. You know, he's a senior this year, so you know, you're ready to be out here as a grown man making a decision what he want to do once he leaves this high school thing. I don't know what he wants to do. He doesn't know what he wants to do. He hasn't made up his mind. I mean, he gets offers from schools all across the country every day. I mean, the boy got so many goddamn letters, it's a damn shame. But being the super dad out here, trying to be the super dad out here, you know, just making sure he good, got things going on, and then just chilling at the house. That's pretty much my mode right now. I don't really don't have much else to give to y'all. We had some news this week, man. Some sad news that we got. Today we found out that John Amos passed away about a month ago. His family's been keeping it close to their chest, but they finally released the news that John Amos, the actor who is famous for playing Cleo McDowell and Coming to America, most notably James Evans in Good Times, which was crazy because, I mean, most people know that while he was on that show, John Amos is only a few years older than J.J. Walker. And, you know, he played the dad, and he's younger than Florida Evans. And he's younger than Leslie Uggams. I want to say he played her dad in Roots. But, you know, good actor out there doing the good thing, representing, you know, Kansas City. John Amos is just one of those guys that was always about lifting his people up. But sad losing that guy, you know, not seeing him pop up randomly on any TV show that you want to watch. I mean, the dude made an appearance on the Righteous Gemstones. He just popped in on the episode as an elderly pastor who was still trying to hang on and keep his son from getting the rights to the legacy that he had built. So, hey, he's a good guy. Always brought some good entertainment to the TV. I think the funniest thing I ever seen him as being Tommy's dad in on Martin. So rest in peace to John Amos. Also, Dikembe Mutombo passed away. He's 58. He had brain cancer. We've been seeing him, pop up from here and there. One of the early stars, international stars that came through in the NBA, representing for his country. Always one of the guys that, kind of gave back to the sport, helped out the big men, was one of those guys that was always trying to pay it forward, teach the young guys the way of the game, and always represented his home country. So rest in peace to Mutombo. Rest in peace to John Amos, man. I was sitting there thinking the other day. This is just how my brain's working. So I was sitting there riding the other day, man. I was sitting there thinking about, I don't know if I heard a commercial or something, but I was thinking about the word musketeer and what a musketeer is. And then I was thinking about it, like all the things people use as like mascots and the names of the sports teams. And I realized that musketeer isn't like a popular name or one that's used very often, maybe at the high school level. I know only one I know of in popular terms is Xavier. That's their mascot, the Musketeers. But that's just one of the random things that came to me. And I had meant to, before I had got into the discussion, just trying to figure out how that school got its name or what the school got its mascot from. And I never really got into that. Never got into it. Let's see. I'm pretty sure there's a store somewhere. It says the Musketeer was adopted as Xavier nickname 1925 to symbolize all for one, one for all spirit of the university. Oh, there you go. Okay. Shout out to them for that. All right, let's move into sports. NFL news. Let's get into it. NFL, we had some games this week. I'm gonna pull that the scores up from this week so we can talk about that, and then we can talk about some of the news that happened this week. I know we kicked off the week last week on Thursday night, and Thursday night games come by so fast. Like it was Friday morning, I realized, like, damn, that was a game last night. So far in the NFL, the Cowboys took a 5-point victory over the Giants on Thursday night. The Falcons defeated the Saints in a rivalry game, two game by 2 points. The Bears defeated the Rams in Chicago. Vikings still looking good. They're undefeated. They took down the division opponents, the Packers. Jordan Love returned for this game, threw 4 touchdowns and 389 yards, but it was all in a loss. The Steelers, bid to stay undefeated, fell sharply at the hands of the Colts. And Joe Flacco came in to relieve Anthony Richardson, who got injured again early in the season. So we're going to see what's going on, what's going to happen with him. The Broncos surprised the Jets. So Bo Nix led his team into MetLife Stadium and defeated the Jets 10-9. The Eagles lost again to the Buccaneers. This time, still showed up by Baker Mayfield and those fighting Buccaneers. They got defeated 33-16 in Tampa once again. The Panthers took a loss to the Bengals, so they're back to their losing ways. Joe Burrow finally got off the snide. They finally got their first win. The Texans shouldered the Jags. The Jags are 0-4 right now. And they lost 3 games on the road and lost 1 game at home. So they're not doing so good when they're playing at home. I mean, on the road. The Washington Commanders are still looking good. They put up 42 points against the Cardinals, and Jaden Daniels is looking good out there. 233 yards and a touchdown. Amazing game out there. Amazing game. So keep on looking for Jaden Daniels, man. His stock is still rising out there. We got the 49ers defeating the Patriots to get back in the winning record, to pull back to 500. The Raiders defeated the Browns after, some people made some business decision the week before and their loss. The Chiefs still winning, took down the Chargers, and the Bills got defeated by the Ravens on Sunday night. Derrick Henry almost put 200 yards, took a big one to the house early in the game on a one-play drive. Titans, can you believe it? They beat the Dolphins. Titans haven't been looking real good. But, you know, favor shown on them on Monday night, and they got that win. And then the Lions in the late game just came out and poured it on the Seahawks and defeated them 42-29. All right, let's look at week five. What we got coming up this week, this Sunday? Well, starting Thursday. Let's go there first. So Thursday night, we're going to have the Buccaneers at the Falcons. Look for Baker to still look good out there. He's almost at 1,000 yards passing this season, 8 touchdowns, 2 picks. And Bijan has only had 200 yards rushing so far this season, so the running game has been held in check out there in Atlanta. The Jets get to take on the undefeated Vikings. Will Sam Darnold and his team, him and Justin Jefferson, still shine. They got four wins, and Justin Jefferson has 4 touchdowns. So if you're playing fantasy, if you're playing the daily fantasy, you know, Justin Jefferson might be a good pick for you to get some points. The Bears and the Panthers and the lovable losers get to see Caleb Williams take on it will be Caleb Williams versus Bryce Young, but you know Bryce Young got benched, so it's the Red Rifle versus Caleb Williams. Look for the Panthers to try to put on a show, but I think the Bears can get this one. The Ravens and the Bengals. The Ravens really need this win. The Bengals definitely need this win at 1-3, but I think the Ravens got this locked up. The Dolphins can get back on the winning track by taking on the Patriots. So I will put my bet on my chips on the Dolphins there to take that win. The Washington Commanders are home against the Browns. Jaden Daniels versus Deshaun Watson. Let's see. I'm gonna go with the Commanders on this one. Did I put them at 4-1? And surprisingly, in the lead in the division, because I know the Cowboys have 2 losses, the Eagles have lost 2 games. Yeah, because they lost to the Falcons. And then the Giants just sputtered out the gates. We got the Colts versus the Jags. Jags looking bad. They need a win real bad. So I'm looking for the Jags to try to come off of that losing streak right there and get their first win for the season. The Bills and the Texans in Houston. We got the Bills taking this one. The Raiders and the Broncos. The Raiders going to win this game. If they don't win this game, man, I'll be totally shocked. 49ers and Cardinals in one of the other late games. Hopefully, the 49ers can pull this out, because they fall at 2-3. It's going to be making it look real suspect. But right now, they are undefeated at home. So maybe they can keep that streak going. The Packers and the Rams. The Rams should get this win. I know they're right now they're at 1-3, but this is a game that they have a chance to get back on their winning record and pull themselves up to 2-3. The Giants are going to visit the Seahawks. You should see the Seahawks with the win. And on Sunday night, the world is going to implode when the Cowboys go to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Dak Prescott, please show up in this game. You got over 1,000 yards passing this season and 6 touchdowns. Cowboys got to show up in this game. And then on Monday night, the Saints draw the Chiefs. And, yeah, that's the Chiefs. That's the Chiefs win. And then on the bye, you got week 5, we already got teams on bye. The Lions, the Titans, the Eagles, and the Chargers are all sitting it out this week. But from the news coming out there, seems like the Raiders are ready to give up on Devontae Adams, and they're ready to make some trades. So there's some rumor real bursting out there about where he want to go. And one of the teams that people are talking about are the Chiefs. Man, I know the Raiders ain't about to send this receiver to go pair up with Pat Mahomes in their own division, you know, basically cannibalizing themselves and their opportunity by sending them there. But we'll see what's in store for Devontae. Hopefully he can get the shit back right, but it looks like he's not too excited about playing for the Silver and Black right now. Odell Beckham, he finally practiced with the Dolphins. I forgot he had signed with them, man. That's how much I ain't heard about him. You know, they got Odell, Waddle, and Tyreek out there. Sounds like a formidable receiving core right there, but you know, Odell is not the Odell he was. He was catching that ball one hand against the Cowboys out there. not the same Odell, but still, he's still a good receiver to have out there. Some veteran leadership to see out there, kind of like when on Deshaun Watson's back in his career when he was coming out there being a vet on teams and, getting targets and helping his team move the ball down the field. So hopefully we'll see some flashes of brilliance from Odell here coming soon, because it's good for his career. Now in college football. So I decided this to go against my word and go ahead and do my college football rankings. And this week, I didn't put them out. I didn't release them for the public last week. I did do it last week. I mean, week before last, but I was like, man, there's too many teams that haven't lost. There's too many one-loss teams that still should be considered. So I have now put this together. And this isn't just built off teams who are undefeated. It's built on teams who have the best opportunity to make the playoff and the teams who have the best chance. But there are also some teams that early on have shown flashes of greatness, but the schedule isn't counting them going down the road. So let's look at it. And number 12. Well, let's break down real quick. So the way the playoffs is going to work is the top four teams in the big conferences are going to get the bye. So their conference champs are going to get the bye. The fifth conference champ is going to either go in number five or wherever they fall on in the top 12 in the remaining 5 through 12 spots. So we'll get to that. Right now, I got number 12. I got Navy. Navy stayed alive stayed alive as long as with. Damn, I'm sorry. Navy can stay alive as long as Memphis keeps winning, but need to show up against Notre Dame to solidify his claim as a top contender to start so they can move up or move out. That's gonna be a big game for them. James Madison has the largest hill to climb. They need a lot of help to stay on the map. The conference opening with Coastal Carolina is coming up this week. It helped them keep them on top of the Sun Belt, but the Sun Belt can a Sun Belt title can only help if UNC can make a deep run, because they did beat North Carolina week four last, and that can help them out. A two loss UNC that keep rising up can help them look real good. Utah, they slid this week. They lost to Arizona. They got one loss, but with Arizona State, a surging Colorado, and leaders like BYU and Iowa State left, they can claim the third Big 12 participant. It's a little bit dismal, but for it's first or bust for the Ute. So, I mean, being third is not gonna really help them, but they can be that third team, but it's really not that great for them. At nine is another Big 12 team. It's Iowa State. You can expect to see the Cyclones bounce around here to mid-October when they host UCF and Texas Tech. They open Texas Tech to open in November. Things look much different when they get to the Utah and Kansas State back to back. So depending on how those two teams shake out once they get to them, it may help them out a little bit. Texas, they had an off week. It'll help them get their quarterback one, Ewers back, just in time for Oklahoma. And then Georgia is right behind that. They will play both games in state. They got the Oklahoma game is in Dallas, and then the Georgia game is going to be in Austin at UT. They play both games in state, but a win will put them in an automatic bye slot before November. They can beat both of those teams. They should be sitting up there pretty. Notre Dame took a blemish against Northern Illinois, and only stung until they was able to topple Louisville. The next few weeks present easy tests for them until the matchup with Navy in late October. So they keep on winning. They get to Navy, and Navy's looking good. It can help them out. But if Navy's not a contender by the time they get to the game, it ain't gonna help Notre Dame out. Not on my list. Alabama's sitting at number six. They don't have Texas on their schedule. They are ready to soar to the top with South Carolina, Tennessee, and Missouri in the first 3 weeks of October. Look for them to be a top four team if they go 8-0 over the next month. So they get eight games. Yeah, they get to the 8-0. Yeah, I'm going to give them money at. Washington State went out and made some moves early, but lost to Boise State. They're number five. It may be fatal to them staying in the top, staying atop the poll. There are a few strong opponents coming down the pipe. Very few. I mean, they only got one team that's in the conference, and it's Oregon State. So that's why they're here. Virginia, they got one loss. It makes them seem laughable to be sitting up here at number four. But if any at the top of the AC ACC stumble over the next couple of weeks. Look for them to be in the discussion because they will see Louisville, Clemson in October, and open November with a road game against Pitt. Five wins will make them seem, yeah, five wins will make the top spot seem spot on. So they can be top in the top spot of the ACC. BYU will come back from the bye with Arizona, Oklahoma State, and UCF. They should go on. Should they go unblemished, they should stay atop the conference, and the top four will be in their, the top four slot will be in their sights. Oregon hosts Michigan State, Ohio State, and Illinois in 3 or 4 weeks. A strong showing will get them back, get them set for the back stretch. And then Missouri, I got them at number one. They have Texas A&M and can prove that they are a real threat, but going to Bama will be their ultimate boost for them. So I know I've got that list set up, and there are some teams that you probably heard that are undefeated, that are ranked in the top 5, 10, whatever. Like, where's Tennessee? Where's it? Listen, man, I'm not putting the teams on that haven't played anybody. Just because you got some wins and you're undefeated and you done put some cupcakes on, I don't know if Tennessee beat Oklahoma. I know they did. But if you look at it in the SEC right now, they gotta show up against some other teams right now. Because if Oklahoma takes a loss to Texas, that win against Oklahoma don't mean nothing. But the way I got it set up right now, if this was a playoff, we would have Washington State hosting Navy, Texas hosting Iowa State, James Madison, it will be at Alabama, Utah will be in Notre Dame. And if that was the setup, I would say Washington State will move on to face Virginia, Texas to go face Missouri, Alabama to face BYU, and I would say Utah could beat Notre Dame and go on to face Oregon. You know what I'm saying? So you would look at your quarterfinals with Washington State versus Virginia, Texas and Mizzou, Alabama, BYU, and Utah, Oregon. And Utah, Oregon are familiar with each other with them have been in the Pac-12 once before. Alabama, BYU will be a very good game. I know Alabama could beat BYU. I mean, they showed their mettle against Georgia. And then, of course, Georgia's not in here neither. I mean, they got a road to climb. Now, teams to look out for, I will say this. These are the teams you want to look out for that are not on this list. Louisville, Clemson, of course, Ohio State, once they start playing some games, because they got to play Oregon. Michigan can get back in this thing. Penn State can get in this thing. And what's my other slot? Tennessee, I mentioned them, and Miami. Those are all teams that can get in the discussion. Right now, I don't have them in there because, again, they play some good teams. They're winning. They're moving along. But some of these teams that I mentioned right now, if they match up, any of these teams match up with any of the ones I just mentioned, they would have to beat them to get considered for me. I mean, because if you stumble against any of these teams and you lose against any one of them, then that just really messes up the whole dynamics of what you're looking at, the way the polls work out. It's a 12-team playoff, and it's not about going undefeated. It's really about showing up in the games that matter. So if you lose a game, it's not a death sentence. I know a lot of people are saying conference play is an elimination game, but really it's not. Clemson lost to Georgia early in the season, and they can make a deep run in the ACC. Why would they not be considered as one of the favorite teams to get into the 12-team playoff? Right now, for me, they're not in, but they are one of the strong competitors. But they got a lot of competition in the ACC to look forward to. A lot of teams that they gotta kind of murk through. Some of these conferences are real deep. A lot of these conferences, the Big 12, the Big 10, ACC, they're all deep. You're looking at some of these conferences with 12 and 14 teams in there. And some of these teams, they've only really lost one or they all lost one or two games, and they play some really good competition. Michigan played good competition in Texas to take a loss, but they came up and they found a way to win against USC. So things like that are what I'm looking at in the college football landscape. Again, hey, this could change from week to week. Next week, totally different lineup here, different teams at the top and the bottom. Some teams are going to take the week off. Some teams had the week off last week. And it didn't help them. So hey, we're gonna see. I know people don't, look at it the way I look at way I look at it, but it is what it is. If things play out the way these teams are sitting right now, I don't see the reason why they wouldn't be there where they are. You know what I'm saying? Seeing a one-loss Virginia at the top of the ACC, yes, that's crazy when Miami's undefeated. But at the same time, Miami got some serious teams coming up on their schedule that they gotta look at. And I can just go down the schedule for you real quick just to pull it up. Let's see. Let's look at the team. Yeah, talking about the teams that are in. So I already talked about the schedule. But let's look at this. Let's see. All right, so we say Miami. Miami, for example. And you know I'm a fan of Miami. I really do like them. Now I like the fact that they're getting the wins out there. So far, they beat Florida. Florida's really not gonna help them out in the win. Ball State's not gonna help them out. South Florida not gonna help them out. Virginia Tech is not. They got Cal coming up this weekend. They gotta go to Louisville. They got Florida State. They got Duke, Georgia Tech, Wake Forest, and Syracuse. Those games could really make a big difference, especially the Louisville game. But if you go to Louisville and you lose to Louisville, and then you come back and have a good game with Florida State, you notice a rival game that can go anyway. Two losses right there can really put them on the backside of saying, hey, do we really think they're a contender? You know what I'm saying? Who is somebody else? Who is somebody else I mentioned? Oh, I said Clemson. So Clemson is a team that has an opportunity to make some moves. Look at Clemson's schedule. They got one loss right now. Coming up, where's Clemson's schedule? Right here. They got Florida State coming up this week. They got Wake Forest, Virginia. So there's one loss team right there they can take out. Louisville, Virginia Tech, Pitt is undefeated, and then South Carolina at the end. So they end their ACC season on November the 16th. They don't play another ACC team again after that. They're done. You know what I'm saying? So if they can get out of this with maybe one or two other key victories, hey man, put Clemson in this thing. I already talked about Virginia. Let's see, that was the ACC. Let's look at some of your other favorites. Let's look at this. Let's go down to the Big 12. People like Colorado. What Colorado got coming up? I know people love Coach Prime out there in Boulder. They got Kansas State coming up. Kansas State is a one-loss team, and they hosting them at home. Arizona already defeated a team that was undefeated. You know, gave somebody their first loss. You got Cincinnati, Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, and then Oklahoma State at the end of the season. Again, some pretty tough games that could keep them out of the running. That's a real deep conference there. Texas Tech is looking real good. In the Big Ten, Illinois is looking real good early on. Let's look at Ohio State. I told you Ohio State's schedule is real, real spotty, real spotty. For them, they got Iowa coming up this week. So that's a good game that can possibly get them in the running because Iowa is a one-loss team. Then they go to Oregon. They got Nebraska, Penn State on the road. Purdue, Northwestern, Indiana, and then Michigan at the end of the year, of course. So you're looking at Ohio State can possibly be a team that makes the put them in the discussion of, from my standpoint, well, I'm looking at it by November. Other conferences on the outside looking in, Conference USA, Liberty is at the top there. I really don't see Liberty getting a chance to get in. I got two teams that are coming from other conferences, right? I got James Madison, and then I got Navy. I don't think but one of the two of them have a chance. Ole Miss took a loss this week. They lost to Kentucky. That's really going to hurt them. There's one of their teams that had a chance to make a name for themselves. Tennessee. We know Tennessee got Alabama coming up soon. So, Tatum lost Alabama could really sting. They got Arkansas. They got Florida. Kentucky. Kentucky has shown themselves to be pretty decent against some strong competition. They put Georgia on the ropes. They took down Ole Miss on the road. Then Tennessee has Mississippi State. They got Georgia coming to them, and then they got UTEP, and then they close out with Vandy. So you're looking at them with two real key games down the stretch that can really help them out. So them trying to get the undefeated is going to be really a real task. But shoot. If they can go 1-1 for Georgia and Alabama, hey, got a chance to get in there. But that's the discussion I got from the sports man. For the WNBA, we got the playoffs going on right now. Looks like the Aces' bid to become a to get a three-peat is, ooh, it's fading right now. They're down 2-0 to the Liberty. One More Loss will end that series. It's a best of five series. And then the other series is tied. Who do I have? Who do we got on the other side? Yeah, I forgot what on the other side. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Who is on the other side? The Lynx and the Sun. Lynx and the Sun, they tied 1-1. So Connecticut Sun and the Lynx are the Minnesota Lynx are battling out. So I really think it's an opportunity to see the Liberty and the Sun in the final. So that's going to be an all East Coast final there. But let's not count the aces out yet. They only lost by 4 points tonight. They just had a costly turnover in the game that kind of wrapped it up for them. All right, we're gonna move on to some entertainment. So what did I watch? I was sitting here. I don't know what I was doing, but I saw this. It might have been on IMDb, but I saw this trailer for this movie called Wolfs, and it's about a problem solver. Well, two problem solvers. Where they're basically coming out to cover up what they thought was a crime and some smuggling of some cocaine and all this other good stuff. And it's George Clooney and Brad Pitt. And when I saw it, I was like, man, like they're about to be acting real stupid. So it's a nice little buddy cop thriller there where they are trying to basically clean up this whole little scenario that was going on with this politician. And it just dropped last Friday, so it's a pretty good watch. It's a quick watch. Now, that movie wasn't long at all. What's the runtime on this junk? You got it up here? Runtime? Hour 48. It's a real in and out movie there. Then I was because at night I like to turn on like little random stuff on the TV, so I find a random channel. So I got on Tubi and I found this show called Poly Love in Peach City. Man, the synopsis of this is three lawyers and friends explore polyamory, leading to strained marriages, tested friendships, jealousy, insecurity, and the fallout of their unmet desires and miscommunication. So basically, it's like the three couples, and they're having these little tisks in their relationship. So one of them decided, like, let's try polyamory. So it's not really polyamory; they just fucking. That's all it is. Like. They kind of shuffle it up and then the wives fuck each other's husbands and all this other stuff. And it's what somebody who's never been in whoever been in a poly relationship would think a poly relationship is. It's not poly. They're not even swinging, dog. They just fucking, that's it. They're just fucking each other. They ain't got no kind of relationship with each other. They don't care nothing about each other. It's this wife is mad at her husband, so I'm gonna fuck my friend's husband, because we kind of like match some way. We kind of got like similar fucking traits about ourselves, so they kind of match. That's really all it's really just a physical part of it. And I know a lot of people think, well, isn't that what all polygamy is? I'm like, no, it's really not about that. And you can look it up for yourself. It's not just about the physical aspect of it, it's not just about being intimate with somebody else's partner. So no, that's not what it's about. But this one was a pretty it was a slow burner, actually. It was 1 hour and 30 minutes, but it took a while to get to it. But once they finally got to the point where they would decide that what they're gonna do, like one of them was like, you come with me, and they just go off somewhere, in the background, and they start fucking, and then the other one pull off and they start fucking. It wasn't like a Are we all fucking in the same room? So look over here. Like you need to get your shit together. Your wife thinks this and the other, and you're, like you, your husband, he need to tame you or whatever and shit. And he's all fucking. So, whatever. But my show, Reasonable Doubt, man, they cooking right now. I ain't gonna spoil it for anybody that wants to watch the show, but they cooking right now. So, like I told you last time, I talked about it that this season is built around a murder of one of the friend's husband. Really, the wife is on trial for the murder. She's basically using a self-defense claim, but it's being alluded to that somebody else may have actually committed the murder, and she's covering it up. There's a large sum of money that's in play here, and it seems to be that the wife, the widow in this situation, didn't know about this large sum of money. And then her little love interest, who was the mentee of the murdered athlete, It's been fooling around with. No, she's been fooling around with her dead husband's mentee. So, he got on the stand and said his little thing about what he's gonna be. What's his name? Shit, Corey, whatever his name is, that fucking Morris Chestnut is playing, man. He having these little mental fantasies about Jax, and he tried to act on it. But she learned her lesson from last time from being emotionally distant from her husband and then just going doing whatever. So she's trying to pull back. But the damn, I talked about the damn side baby came in last time. It finally came out who is dad of the side baby. Oh man, the shit hit the fan on that. And there was a line in there that basically was like, you are like that nigga or a nigga or something like that. I don't know. But Lewis got his words in at the end too, man. Shout out to Lewis. I mean, maybe I'm just a little bit biased on it, but hey, fuck it, I don't care. They were cooking this episode. So the new one will be coming out this week, and we'll see what they're gonna be. No Reasonable Doubt. Still for me, 5 stars. That's the add-on, September 5th. Oh yeah, that's right. Guilty until proven innocent. And this last episode I watched, which just dropped, This Can't Be Life. That's not the last one I watched, is it? Maybe it is. Nope. Venus vs. Mars. Jackson Lewis and the impasse when things get heated. At the Office of Core and the prosecution rests in Chanel's case. So yeah, that was the last one I watched. So the next one comes up on Thursday the 3rd. And then later today, I will get Agatha All Alone, which I haven't talked about that, but I'm going to kind of let that play out a little bit before I talk about that. I think they only had 3 episodes so far. But it's a Marvel series based on Agatha Harkness, who made her appearance in WandaVision. So we're picking up 3 years after WandaVision. Again, I talked about that last time about how Marvel works with this. But Agatha Harkness' season story is going right along, and we're trying to get into who some of these characters are. They had a nice little interesting little tidbit in the 3rd episode, but like I said, I'm gonna get into that just a little bit later. Just a little bit later. All right, let's get into the social media beef. So, I know some of y'all may not know this, but maybe you do. But last week, sometimes a Instagram personality by the name of Joey Swole, he posted a video of this young lady, Zara Fitness. He like stitched her video where she recorded this dude on a workout in the gym where she was laughing at what the workout this guy was doing. And he was.
You're listening to the Dr. Abrasive Show.
It's serious, y'all. Hold that shit. Doing unnecessary shit in the gym right now. Like, y'all, I don't even understand if he's trying to surf. There's so many other ways he could have targeted your back.
So what this man is doing is called a chest-supported seal row. This is actually a great exercise. It's good for isolating the upper back, the lats, and by laying flat with your feet off the ground, you remove any cheating or momentum that you would get from your legs or your hips. It's also really good for people that have lower back problems and can't do the conventional bent over row. It's such a great exercise that they literally make a bench for this. Now, unfortunately, you're not going to see these benches in big commercial gyms, but it's not uncommon to see people makeshift the bench just like he does. I've done it many times. But what's worst of all is that you're a certified personal trainer and you don't know this or know better than to film someone, to post on social media to make fun of him. And you recruit other people to join in and laugh at him too? Seriously? Shame on you. You need to do better. Mind your own business.
This is basically like his whole thing was, you don't record other people in the gym, which you're not supposed to, because there's a lot of gyms you go to today that you don't record other people in the gym when they're working out. This is personal for people. They're in there trying to work out, trying to get themselves together. You got a lot of people who are out of shape, so they get themselves back into shape. Some of them work out on their own. So you being a fitness person and they're laughing is just really fucked up, especially if your platform is to go out and encourage people to have a healthy journey. And the fact that you're on your platform laughing at somebody else trying to do that really damages your brand. So he came out and said that. So she pulled out the attack call, was like, he was attacking her because she was a black woman.
Check this out. Earlier in the gym this week, I was using the plyometric box. A man approached me, insisting that he needed this piece of equipment. Despite me saying no, he took it upon himself to use it anyways. My brothers surrounded me in a protective stance, very confused about what the interaction just took place.
And you recruit other people to join in and laugh at him too? Seriously? Shame on you. You need to do better.
Don't assume that these people were gathered throughout the gym to mock somebody's behavior. These are people I work out with almost 7 days a week. They're my family. We all recognized he was about to do seal rows, but we couldn't believe the unacceptable behavior to interrupt other people's workout and make this huge contraption when other people needed those pieces of equipment. Keep in mind, this was peak hour.
It's not good gym etiquette to hog a machine or to superset using multiple different machines when the gym is busy or there's somebody waiting for that machine.
To the overwhelming amount of people who have refused to understand the full amount of the story, I will be removing this video. Because what has happened is the Swole Army has decided to attack me with racial slurs and death threats. This also shows to speak the people that follow him. You're not going to come to my Instagram and use something on my platform to then for exploit my image. Have a great day. And as always, stay fit.
Now listen, I'm going to tell you something real quick. Now, Joey Swole is a white dude. He does this fitness thing too. But again, he does get really charged up about people who go in and do shit like this. And I'm sorry, man. I can't take her side on this. Dude was doing a workout that is a legitimate workout. But because the gym he was in didn't have the particular type of setup for this workout he was doing, he just kind of makeshifted. And that's a lot of things that you do in the gym. If you want to work certain parts of your body and you don't have a machine for it, you do what you got to do to make it work. And that's what this dude was doing. It wasn't like no crazy shit. Like, you've seen some wild shit that people be doing in the gym for workouts. It wasn't nothing that crazy shit. But it was something that dude was trying to particularly work a particular isolated part of his area, his body. And the way he had it set up, it helped him isolate the muscles that he was working. Listen, I'm not a fitness expert. You see my body, you know I'm not no damn fitness guru by it. With no way, shape, or fashion. But at one point in time, I did used to be in the gym. And I do understand that there are different workouts that work in the body. So I do understand this. Seeing somebody that is a fitness influencer, so to speak, quote unquote, doing this is really disheartening for anybody that's trying to get in the lifestyle, especially going to a public gym like that. You know, there's a lot of gyms that are really built for people who are really serious about working out. And if you go in there, man, as somebody who's a novice, you can kind of get intimidated. So to see somebody doing this is really fucked up. So for her to take that standpoint of that for people laughing is real fucked up. But she did do that, and she released her response. And at the end of the day, dude, Joey Swole, he got her banned from that gym. That's the part I think was funny about that whole story. Was she ended up getting banned because that gym had a policy where you're not supposed to be recording people. So, and then her thing was had that video boosted out to his 4.6 million followers or whatever. And that basically alluded to an attack. I'm like, but dude, you did the same thing. You send your video out. Let's see. She has 15,000 followers. He has 4.6 million followers, right? So, it's big bang, take little bang. And I got this little bitty thing over here. And he took his big old platform and took a shot at me. But, nigga, you was laughing at somebody else. That is not fucking cool. Just admit you fucked up and leave it at that. Leave it at that. Leave it at that. I mean, because ain't nobody in here recording these people. I ain't finna take no shots. I don't want nobody to feel like I'm targeting them, but ain't nobody going in the gym recording the ladies that be in the scantily clad clothes and working out, flexing in front of their little tripods and shit. You know, some gyms don't allow you to have tripods, but flexing in front of your tripod and shit, your tight clothes, showing your glutes and shit. Well, we know what you're really trying to emphasize while you're working out, but you're trying to make it seem like you're emphasizing the workout. I'm like, there's a way you can show us the workout without us seeing right up your ass. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind it. I enjoy it. But, you know, I'm not going to call out like, She just trying to show her ass. We know. We know what you're trying to do. We know you're trying to show off the six and it's, we cool. It is what it is. But ain't nobody calling you out for that. So leave it alone. Anybody be like, man, these chicks always, they, all they want to do is show off their ass cheek. They need to get out of the gym. Ain't nobody saying that, man. We understand. It's cool. You know, as a woman, is the physique of a woman that works out a lot is nice. But laughing at a nigga for trying to get himself together, that's real fucked up. That's real fucked up. And she had a little audience around her. Some niggas was around her, motherfucker, standing there and there. And then they gonna come out and basically vouch for, well, we weren't with that. Niggas, y'all was in the video, nigga. We see y'all faces. And I ain't saying y'all guilty, but y'all was there. Y'all could have easily just walked the fuck away, be like, I don't wanna be in the camera. But you was up in that motherfucker, and then when the heat came down, you were like, that wasn't me. I wasn't in on this. Yes, you was, my boys. Yes, you was. All right. Funny news. Now, the city of Memphis. Now, Memphis has its quirks about itself. I can't speak for no other city because I haven't lived close to other cities as much as I've been in Memphis. But Memphis has its quirks about itself and the way it works. Right now, they just wrapped up. Downtown is a mess right there where the city hall and the courthouse and everything. They just wrapped up the trial, one of the murder trials for against one of the guys that's on trial for murdering young Dolph. They're also in the midst of having the federal trial for the cops that murdered Tyre Nichols. And in the midst of all of this, they have this back and forth is going on where they are trying to oust the county clerk, Wanda Halbert. They've been trying to do this for so long, and mainly because she is the head woman in charge over things like car registration. And for the longest, that shit has been fucked up. I want to say for 2 years. I don't know if people's tags are caught up now, but I know for a while back when they rolled out the new tags for the state of Tennessee, like, people were not even getting their shits on time. People were months behind getting tags. And people were riding around with old tags on their cars that had been expired, but they applied for the new tag, but you got to go in person to get it done, but they couldn't get in because either the time wasn't working for them, long lines, they would close that motherfucker offices down for lunch and all this stuff. And she basically is the head honcho in all of this. So they've been trying to get her out for many reasons, for that and for things like not turning reports to the county. All right, so this all started out with the DA, the district attorney in Shelby County. He went out and appointed the district attorney from Hamilton County, which is in Nashville, to come out and do an independent investigation and make a recommendation. He came in and recommended that she be removed from her job. So the judge in that case dismissed it and said, basically, he don't have any authority to do that. He don't have any authority to handle that case. So y'all got to try again. But this time around, they hired a private attorney to come do the same thing. He basically went in and said, basically, that she failed to turn in her reports and then to the trustees in a timely manner. And it keeps them from being able to, you know, to manage the budget of the county. And they said because she has not responded to the petition within that 20 days, they wanted to go ahead and get a default judgment. And they basically judge was like, no, I'm not going to do that because she came to court with her lawyer and they filed a case for dismissal and she should have due process. And we're not just going to get rid of her because y'all did. And Wanda Halbert's attorney basically was like, hey, look, they hired a private attorney to do this. He don't have the authority to say so. Basically, they're saying, listen, DA Steve Mulroy, who is in Shelby County, if you want to do this, you need to do it yourself. Quit hiring other people to do your dirty work. You know, basically, if you want to get rid of it, you need to step up and do it. And you're the only one that can do this. You can't be hiring other people. But he's trying to wash his hands so it makes it seem like he's not attacking this woman. But they can't do it, man. They still can't get her out. They've been going back and forth all summer. They can't get her. Speaking of women, they're trying to get out. Now, listen. Okay. And I'm not saying they're talking black women in Memphis, Shelby County. I'm not saying this in no way at all. It just so happened that some of the people that they've been targeted have been black women. The former police chief, they basically made her interim chief. They stepped her down from the active chief, made her interim chief. They made no moves to replace her. CJ has been still around doing all the ads in all of the presses and all of the press conferences and everywhere, speaking on behalf of the police department whenever something happens. She's the interim police chief. They haven't hired anybody else. Now, moving forward to another area of the city, this area, is the school district. Education, man, it's like The Wire, nigga. It's like The Wire. You got the politicians, you got the school, and you got the motherfucking law enforcement. I swear it's like The Wire here. But in the education system, they had years ago, I want to say it's 2021 is when this happened. The superintendent at the time stepped down amid a controversy. He stepped down. They didn't hire a replacement. They just appointed an interim. The interim that they had either took another job or left. So then they appointed another interim. They had a nationwide search. They brought in these candidates. They had they brought it down, narrowed it down to three people. The interim was one of the three people that they had at the time. And they didn't pick her. And then they went back to the drawing board and opened the search back up. Nigga, two school years. That happened. So then they finally made a decision over last summer, I believe, coming into the school year. They made a decision. They hired this administrator from Detroit, who basically got a start in Birmingham. They hired her to come in to take over the Memphis Shelby County Schools, Dr. Marie Fagan. So now the two past board members have written letters to basically be like, it was a mistake hiring her. She's not doing a good job. She didn't have a transition. She didn't work with the outgoing interim before she took the job. She just came in and started implementing all her ideas, and everybody's scared to say anything because they're scared they're going to get fired and lose their job. Dog. It's basically a shit show when it comes to that. Now, she's gotten a vote of confidence with some of the board members, the current board members, but people have come out and be like, she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. And really, it's a whole thing of Memphis and Shelby County gonna do what they want to do. If you want to come from the outside, which in the discussion I just had, CJ, the interim police chief, is somebody who came from outside, came into the city. She's not from here. She came from North Carolina. She came here. You come here with these outside goals and aspirations, and you don't want to get online with the way Memphis do things, you're going to get some pushback. And that is what Dr. Marie Fagan is getting right now. She's getting pushback. And then the way they do things is what Harvard is doing. You know what I'm saying? So the way Memphis do things is sometimes disorganized. Some people have people who are not really performing their job to the best of their ability. I'm not a big one to have a stand, but hey, man, if people are going around for months and months on end without getting new tags and riding around in other states where they don't give a fuck about the fact that your county clerk can't get your motherfucking tag to you on time, they don't give a damn about that. You get a ticket. So that's the way they want to do things. They want to keep things the way they want to do. But some people looking like, man, sometimes out an outside eye is best. So shout out to Dr. Marie Fagan for coming in and trying to shake things up a little bit in the city. I want to say that Memphis Shelby County School is, if not the largest, it's the second largest school district in the state of Tennessee. So you got a lot of people that you're working with. And then we're talking about a school district where I want to say during the time period where they didn't have a superintendent, where they were working through that transition, they were really stinking it up in test scores and performance overall. And she came in with a plan to try to fix that. She alleviated a lot of jobs that were sitting in there that were not contributing to the success of the education system. And she gave the people opportunity to get other jobs in the administration, in the education system. Those people didn't want to take those jobs. I don't know if they were going to take pay cuts or whatever, but they didn't want to take other jobs. And they basically were, you know, asked to step down and leave education. And those people didn't want to do it. I don't know what to say. Again, I'm just telling you the facts of what happened. You can make your decision how it should work, how you want to. But at the end of the day, some of the comments that were said here, let's see. Reverend Althea Green, she wrote on the commission, said, as a board, we made a decision to hire Dr. Fagans. And if I'm being honest with you, it was a mistake. She is the least qualified candidate for the position. The least qualified candidate for the position, my boy. This is this, y'all. And her actions since coming on board has shown her lack of experience as a leader. Wow, that is amazing. Another former board member, his name, it goes by the name of, what is his name? Calvo. He basically said, the work is already close to being mission impossible, and your actions often make it even more difficult. They cited that she went directly to the mayor of the city and the mayor of the county to ask them for funding and didn't discuss it with the board. They didn't like that. Basically felt like she was going behind their back. And they said, from what they've heard, it's a climate of fear. People are afraid to speak up because they're afraid of losing their job. She gonna retaliate against us. That we tell her we don't want to do this shit. Oh man, but that's Memphis, y'all. That's Memphis. It's the national news. Netflix, they had people canceling the service because the CEO backed Kamala Harris back in July. On July 22nd, they said he posted on Twitter, "Congrats to Kamala Harris. Now it's time to win." And they said in that time period that their basically cancellation in the United States reached about 2.8% compared to the 1.8% the month before, and 2%, and then they had 2% in August where it kind of fell back down to its normal. But people saw that and it was like, fuck this nigga. And they got off Netflix. But that's what people do. That's what these niggas do. But they don't last long, dog. Do you remember when people get mad at Chick-fil-A? They would get mad at they didn't want to go to Chick-fil-A no more. Chick-fil-A. The God's chicken. They didn't want to do it no more. They're making those decisions. Do you know how many motherfucking companies that you motherfucking patronize that have political ideologies or support political ideologies that you may not line up with? And we still go there every day. But niggas be motherfucking acting so emotional when it comes to what a company stance is or a person in the company stance is when they working the jobs where they fucking CEO of their job don't motherfucking believe in. Don't support shit that you know that they probably support. One way or the other. Niggas are so fickle. You can quit your job because of this shit, I bet you won't. Wonder how many people quit working for the Clippers when they found out Darren Sterling was a racist. Mm-hmm. They were already there. You were in there. I thought this was funny. Sydney Sweeney, who has probably won some of the most searched and sought after booze on in entertainment. she said her father and her grandfather to turn on television when they saw her explicit scenes on Euphoria. Y'all know how that show was. She was getting them titties out there all the time. But yeah, she didn't even prepare them for it. So when they saw it, they were like, oh no, not my baby's titties. Oh man, they better stay off the internet because niggas be motherfucking trying to find them titties, man. Niggas be searching for it. Searching for them news, man, trying to repost them some bitches. Niggas love looking at Sydney Sweeney titties. I don't know what it is. There's plenty of titties that look just like her that are free on so many social media sites. But alas, her family were not fucking with that shit. Let's see. Did I have anything else I want to go over on this show? No, I did not have anything I want to talk about. Man, I hit all my points really quickly. I don't even know how long I've been in here. It's got to be less than an hour. But let's hit my favorite part of the show. I'm going to call this the Mark Robinson Tasty Blacks Top 10. Because Mark Robinson, you are a filthy boy. And you love you some porn. Just as much as the next person. All right. That's 3. That's 7. That's 10. All right. Honorable mention this week is going to be Cream Pie. Where niggas shoot the club up and leave it on the inside. But number 10, we got public porn. Where you got people that are having sex out in the open. Be it amateur, be it motherfucking studio porn. But it's out in the open and people can see them. Next is dogging. Which I don't know why they call it dogging. It's just doggy style. That's all it really is. And it's really like little clips of people getting back shots. That's it. That's number 9. BBWs. Ooh, they slid all the way down to number 8. BBWs? Okay. BBWs. All right. At number 7, we got MILFs. Everybody love them a good old MILF. Even the myths that don't look like myths. Sissy Red is a myth. Well, some people don't wouldn't consider her a myth in their eyes, but she is a mom. And niggas do want to fuck her, so there's that. So is Cardi B. And apparently niggas have been. Number six is Blowjob. And the clip is wild. This is a King Jern favorite right here. This chick got on a, I would call it a shicey, but it looks like a scully where they done cut a hole in where her mouth is and a hole where, you could tell the hole is cut where her mouth is. That eyes was probably there, but they cut that mouth hole a little bit bigger. And then they also cut a hole in the top so her bun can stick out the top. That is number six. Number five is Threesomes Treeway. Number four is Let's Be Honest. People love them some girl on girl porn there. All right. Number three is Amateur. The rookies, the people who don't have, who are not talent, who are not trained, who don't do it for the camera, who don't have to sit in front of a, well, sometimes they do have a ring light, but they don't sit on the studio lights and boom mics to do their things. They basically just set up the tripod with their cell phones or their little mini cameras, and they do their thing. So you don't get a lot of angles. You got that one shot look there and get what you can. They ain't opening up for the camera and all this other stuff. So sometimes, you know, you're looking at it and it's just two people having sex and you don't even see nothing. You just know that they're having sex by the motion that they got going on. That's the amateur porn. Number two is Mark Robinson's favorite is transgender porn. So yeah, got that. That comes in at number two. And Big Ass comes in at number one. Topping it off, King Jern's favorite, the big asses. There we go. We got some BBW, got some big asses up in this thing. And that's your Mark Robinson's Tafy Black top 10. Oh, other person I forgot to mention that passed away this week was Mercury. Mercury Morris passed away. I know Jern was like, I should name something after him, but oh, the Hater of the Year Award or something like that. I don't even know if I had a Hater of the Year Award. I mean, I didn't know awards in a long time, but maybe I did have a Hater of the Year Award sometime. But no, I ain't gonna get it to Mercury Morris, man. Come on. No, I'm not gonna do that. No. I did have a little moment of just supreme niggerdom on my timeline when I saw a video of Jaguar Wright and Orlando Brown having a discussion with each other. Man. Oh my God. These two motherfuckers right now, people are just lining up to just give them a platform right now because of Diddy. Oh my God. Oh my God. We don't need nobody else to get to run to for. We don't need nobody else to come out for her to be right about because they got to keep throwing the camera in her face. And Orlando had never seen the time he don't want to talk about somebody. So that nigga got a bunch of people he done talked about. So that's all I got. Man, that's the show, man. That's all I got. I ain't got nothing else to talk about. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm going to put a little bow on this thing, man. I got up in here in about an hour or less, man. I appreciate y'all for listening. I told y'all how to catch up with me. At Dr. Bracy on all social media platforms. You want to follow me personally on Twitter, it's at Lonzo Harris Jr. I guess I should call it X and quit calling it Twitter, but you know how people are. Whatever, on there. But Dr. Bracy is on all social media platforms. That's Instagram. That's Twitter. That's TikTok. I even got a little fucking Snapchat page I still peruse every now and then. Snapchat is starting to get a little daunting for me. I got so many people I follow. Every time I get on there, it's like, damn, I forgot I followed this person. Appreciate y'all for listening, man. Just leave some feedback to me. You know, want to shout out to the show. If there's anything I talked about you want to, you know, chime in on, definitely do that. And if there's anything that you want to lend to me that I should watch, definitely shoot that up. Get back into the video gaming soon, so maybe posting some stuff like that up. And then I will put, by the time you listen to the show, my little poll will be up. My bracket will be up for the college football. So with that being said, man, I'm about to get out of this thing, man. Till next time, y'all. I'm out of this thing. Peace.
Deuce, motherfucker.
This has been a Dr. Bracy presentation.